glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Ephesians 5:20. Always give thanks for everything to God our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20 and Colossians 4:2. Keep on praying, keep on being alert, and keep on being grateful. Colossians 4:2. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, April 2nd, 2025. We continue with part 5 of Habits That Help Me Keep Holding On During Hard Times by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. And last Tuesday and Wednesday, we looked at keeping your life clean and keeping your eyes open, watching where God's at work. Yesterday, we learned about keeping your purpose firm. And today, we're going to look at how to keep your heart grateful. Even during hard times, you can be grateful because God will give you strength, because bad times can't change God's plan, and because our lives are being changed. Here's Pastor Rick Warren giving us a little bit of a recap as we learn how to keep our hearts grateful.
Let's review. To handle hard times, how do I hold on in hard times? You need to develop 6 habits. We looked at 2 last week, 2 this week, a couple more next week. Number 1, keep my life clean. Don't let sin pile on you. Take out the garbage through confession to God. Number 2, keep my eyes open. Learn from everything and everybody. Look for God at work, even in the tough times in your life. And number 3, what we just covered, keep my purpose firm and don't get distracted. Now, the 4th habit for handling hard times is this. Keep my heart grateful. Keep my heart grateful. My eyes open, my life clean, my purpose firm. Keep my heart grateful. Ephesians 5:20, Living Bible. Always give thanks for everything to God, our Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that God blesses and God uses grateful people? He doesn't bless and he doesn't use cranks and complainers and people who are nagging and worrying all the time. Thankfulness is a habit. The attitude of gratitude is a habit. I keep my heart grateful. It's a habit, and by the way, it's a key to holding on during hard days. When you're going through a tough time, you need to ramp up the thanksgiving and gratitude in your life. 1 Peter 3:15, the message says this, through thick and thin, that's what we're going through right now, through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention in adoration before Christ. What's adoration? It's praise and thanksgiving. Adoration is praising God for who he is and thanking God for what he's done. Praising God for who he is, thanking God for what he's done. He said, you keep adoration at the center of your heart when you're going through tough times. Did you know that both adoration or thanksgiving and praise are antidotes to discouragement? When you get discouraged, gratitude and praise are antidotes to discouragement. You can't be grateful and depressed at the same time because gratitude destroys depression. Now, I've told you many times that doctors have done study after study after study that the most healthy attitude a human being can have is not love, it's gratitude. That the more grateful you are, the more emotionally healthy you'll be. Now, let me just say the opposite. If you don't stay grateful, you're going to become cynical because there are people and places and positions and problems in this world that are going to hurt you. If you don't stay grateful, you will become cynical. Have you noticed that in the last 2 years, cynicism is on the rise? People don't trust anything. Why? Because they're not being grateful. They're not looking at what they could be. What should you do when you're struggling with unmet needs? You say, Rick, I've got a lot of unmet needs in my life. How can I be grateful? Well, here's what you do. You request help from God for your unmet needs, but when you make that request, you request it with a grateful heart. God, I'm grateful for everything you've already done, but here's what I really need right now. I need your help right now But I'm so grateful. You've helped me in the past. I know you're going to help me in the future. I need you to help me right now. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Part of that verse in TEV version says this. In all your prayers, that means in every time you pray, in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. You see the two things go together? Petition and gratitude. I ask God for what I need, but I do it with a grateful heart. Colossians 4:2 is straightforward about what God wants you to do when you're barely holding on. Some of you are barely, you got a chronic illness right now. You got a chronic problem. You got an unsolvable situation. You're barely holding on in hard times. Look at this. Colossians tells us in that verse 2, keep on praying, keep on being alert, and keep on being grateful. That's it. You know, it's not rocket science. Keep on praying, keep on being alert. That's keep your eyes open, and keep on being grateful. When you're going through hell, you just keep on walking. You don't want to stay there. Now, let me ask, why is it gratitude sometimes seems so hard? Well, because we forget all the things we're grateful for. How can we be grateful even in hard times? Oh, I could give you dozens of things to be grateful for even in the middle of hard times, even when everything's falling apart. There are many, 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 many reasons. Let me just give you three. Okay, write these down in your outline. Number one, we are grateful even in tough times. Number one, because God will give us the strength to get through that hard time. We know he's going to give us the strength to make it through the hard time. So you can be grateful that even though you're going through a hard time, God's going to give you the strength to get through it. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 says this, ICB translation, God will strengthen you with his own great power, and because he's given you the strength, you will not give up when troubles come, but you'll be patient. And then you will joyfully give thanks to the Father. Why can we be grateful in hard times? Because we know God's going to rescue us. God's going to help us. God will give us the strength. And then you will give thanks joyfully to the Father. So we can be grateful because we know God is going to give us the strength to make it through these times. Number two, we can be grateful, and we are grateful, even in tough times, because bad times cannot change God's plan. Bad times cannot change God's plan. Again, when you're anchored in the eternal purposes of God, your anchor holds no matter how bad the storm gets. Bad times cannot change God's plan or God's purposes for your life. I don't care what you've done, the dumb decisions you've made. You've made some dumb decisions in life. I've made some dumb decisions in life. Didn't change God's plan for me. Didn't change God's plan for you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Listen to this beautiful verse in the Message. Do you see what we've got? Hebrews 12, 28. Do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And you see how thankful we must be. Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God. Now, if you're taking notes, circle the word unshakable. We have an unshakable kingdom. When everything else in society is being shaken up, there's something that is unshakable, and that is God's kingdom. What is God's kingdom? God's purposes for you, God's purposes for me, God's purposes for history, God's purposes for eternity. That's the unshakable kingdom. Can God's plan for your life, God's purpose for your life, be shaken by culture? No. Can God's purposes for your life be shaken by disasters? No. Can God's purposes be shaken by things that evil people do to you, abuse and misuse? No. Doesn't change God's purposes. Can God's purposes be changed by whoever gets elected? Some of you think, well, I don't know about that one. No, we are safe and we are secure in God's plan, God's purpose, and God's kingdom. You need to stop focusing on nightly news and start focusing on God's kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. All these other things will be added unto you. And that makes us grateful. We know God is going to strengthen us through the problem, and we know that his purposes cannot change. God is good, and that's not going to change. His character can't change. We know that we have an unshakable kingdom. Let me give you a third reason. We are grateful, filled with gratitude, even in tough times. Number three, because our lives are being changed by God. Our lives are being changed little by little, inch by inch, step by step, day at a time. It's not instant change. It is gradual, but it is consistent. What God started in your life, he's going to finish. He's not going to take you halfway. He's going to take you all the way. 2 Corinthians 3:18 is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. In the New Living Translation, it says this: all of us, that's you and me, can reflect the glory of the Lord. Did you know that you can reflect the glory? You could be like a mirror. I'm not the sun, I'm the moon. The moon reflects the sun's light. You're a moon for Jesus. All of us can reflect the glory of the Lord. You're a mirror of Christ. And then here it says how. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, he's working with it, whether you feel it or not, we become more and more like him, like Christ. We become more and more like Christ. The literal Greek there means from one degree of glory to another. We're transitioning, we're transforming. It's sometimes so daily, imperceptible, but it's happening. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him, and we reflect his glory even more. Now notice that verse. Spiritual growth is a slow process. There's no pill you can take that you're instantly mature. There's no event you can go to, no experience you can have, no book you can read that's going to bring you to instant maturity. Fruit ripens slowly. It doesn't ripen instantly. Same thing with the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. All of the 9 qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, they grow slow. They ripen slow in your life. So let me just say this to you. As your pastor who loves you, be patient with yourself, okay? Be patient with yourself. You've got a lifetime to grow in Christ. It's not going to happen overnight. There's no instant spiritual maturity. There's instant coffee. There's instant mashed potatoes, but there's no instant spiritual maturity. Now, like Paul, you can say the 3 things Paul says in Scripture. Thank God, I'm not what I used to be. Thank God, I am what I am. Thank God, I'm not what I'm going to be. You can say those 3 things too, and that gives you a reason to be grateful. Are you grateful that you're not what you used to be? Yeah. Are you grateful that you are what you are? Yeah, in spite of the fact you're a much better person than you were without Christ, and you're not what you're going to be. So I can thank God for the past, the present, and the future. The Christian life is all about change. It's all about transformation. It's all about becoming the better you. It's all about shaping your future self, which is the title of this series. What is shaping your future self? It's just a fancy, easy way to say sanctification. Shaping your future self is what God is doing in your life. He's moving you from one degree of maturity to the next. It's slow, but so is ripening fruit. So is the growth of a plant. You don't plant a seed and the next day have tomatoes, but there's nothing that's going to stop God's change in your life. That's encouraging. That's encouraging. And it also means that I need to be patient with myself. Now, it starts, of course, the moment you invite Christ into your life. That's the starting point. That's the getting out of the gates. When you invite Jesus Christ in your life, the Holy Spirit comes into you. Now God has a chance to start moving in your brain, in your heart, in your mind, in your body. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it like this. You know this verse. When somebody becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Circle the phrase, not the same anymore. You've forgotten what you were like before you were a believer. And so you don't realize you're not the same anymore. You know what our problem is? One of the reasons we're ungrateful? We forget how bad we felt as unbelievers without God in our lives. We don't remember how bad it was to not be able to pray and wonder, is anybody answering? And as unbelievers, we felt unsatisfied. We felt frustrated. We were afraid of death. I'm not afraid of death anymore. We worried more, we felt guilty, we may have felt hopeless. You see, the problem is the longer you're a Christian, you forget how good the good news really is. You just take it for granted because you've had peace in your heart, you've had Christ in your life, you've had the Spirit working in your soul. We forget how much Christ has changed our lives. We are not the same anymore. We can be grateful for that. We're radically changed. Now, in the past 42 years of pastoring Saddleback Church, I've been through a lot of hard times. What keeps me going? You want to know the key to Pastor Rick? It's this. I am addicted to changed lives. I am addicted to changed lives. All I have to do is hear about one person's life change, one marriage saved, one person gets off drugs, one person finds a new spiritual gift or talent that they can use for God. What keeps me motivated is not the size of our church or anything else. It's my love for God and my love for his family. That's you. You know, if you were to ask Paul, why do you put up with all the hassles you have in ministry? He'd say, we do it for Jesus' sake. If you ask me, why do you put up with all the hassles you've been through in 42 years? You know, nobody pays me to do this. I've served the church free for 42 years. Why do I do it? Because I'm addicted to change lives, and Jesus changed lives. He changes lives every day. He still does. You know, we need to constantly remind ourselves what a privilege it is to serve Jesus. Never forget that everything God does for you and through you and in you and to you, he does by grace through faith. Never get over it. Remind yourself daily of God's grace. I've said this many times. Grace is the fact that God knows every stupid mistake I'm going to make in my life, and he still chose me. God knows every stupid mistake you're going to make in your life, and he still chose you. I don't deserve to be saved, much less have the privilege of serving him. We are all trophies of grace. And when Satan points out all the stuff in your life that stinks, you go, yeah, you're right. I'm a trophy of God's grace. Now, right now, I want you to write down one thing. I want you to try to think of one thing that is changing in you or has changed in you that you're grateful for. It may be a small change. Doesn't have to be a major change. What's one thing in your life that God has been working on and changing in you? And you go, I like that. I like that. Maybe you're more patient. I don't know, whatever it is. The symbol for spiritual change and gratitude to God for that spiritual change. You know what that symbol is? It's baptism. And Romans 6 gives us the true meaning of baptism. Look at this verse there on your outline. Romans 6, verse 3 in the Message paraphrase. This is what happens in baptism. When we went under the water, okay, when we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. It's buried. It's gone. Baptism is always a sin, a picture of a burial. When we left the old country of sin behind, we were buried with Christ in baptism. And when we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. It's the picture of change. Some people think baptism is not important. It's not important for me to be baptized like Jesus was. Who says that? Show me the verse in the Bible that says you shouldn't be baptized like Jesus was. Jesus was not a baby when he was baptized. He was dedicated a baby. Nothing wrong with that. Christened as a baby, but you're dedicated as a child. But you have to come to an adult point where as an adult, you say, this is what I'm doing. Jesus was 30 years old when he was baptized. Jesus modeled what he expects us to do by being baptized himself. Jesus never asked you to do something he hadn't done, so he was baptized himself. In Mark chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, it says this, Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan River, and the moment he came out of the water, he had been under the water and come out of the moment he came out of the water, the sky split open, and God's Spirit, looking like a dove, came down on him. What a scene that had to be. Now, I'll tell you something. I'm a sucker for watching baptisms. I love watching baptism. In fact, I can't watch a baptism without crying. Tears just well up in my eyes. They touch me so much. Why? Because it reminds me of two things. Every time I watch somebody be baptized, put under the water, dying to their old way of life, being raised to a brand new life, all the sins forgiven, washed away, coming to a brand new life, it reminds me of two things. First, it reminds me of Christ's amazing power to change lives. Over 54,000 adults have been baptized at Saddleback Church. That's a lot of changed lives. It reminds me of Christ's power to change lives. It also reminds me of the changes he's made in my life. I'm not the same anymore. I will never be the same again. When I watch a baptism, my heart explodes with gratitude and tears stream down my face. That motivates me to keep on keeping on in hard times more than anything else. You know, one of my favorite stories in the New Testament is the story of Philip. Philip was a church leader in the early church, and he's hitchhiking his way to somewhere. And a chariot drives by as he's out in the desert hitchhiking. And when the chariot stops, it's a wealthy African leader. Actually, the Bible tells us he's from Ethiopia. And he drove by in his chariot. He's heading back home to Ethiopia. And he stops to pick up a hitchhiker. He picks up Philip. And as they travel on in the chariot together, Philip shares the good news about Jesus. And he tells him about Christ. And he tells him about God's purpose for his life. And he tells him about how Christ died and was resurrected. And he's coming back one day. And how he could be saved, not by working or earning it, but by grace. He just shares the good news with him, with this man from Africa. And we pick up the story in Acts chapter 8, after they had this long discussion as they're traveling. In Acts 8, 36 to 38, it says this. As they traveled in the chariot, the Ethiopian said to Philip, "Hey, look, here's some water." Must have seen a river or a creek bed as they're going down the dusty road. "Hey, look, here's some water. Why can't I be baptized now?" Good question. So they stopped. Both of them went into the water, and Philip baptized him on the spot. Some people think you have to wait for years and years to be baptized. You have to go through all kinds of catechism to get baptized. You have to do all kinds of, you know, no, it's not the graduation of your life. It's the initiation of your new life. So this is what we call a Nike baptism, on the spot. Just do it. Just do it. You stop procrastinating. You stop making excuses. Today is your moment. Now, what does this have to do with shaping my future self? Well, I'll tell you what, everything. Anytime, listen to this, anytime you want to see a big change or a major change in your life, you need to start it with some kind of dramatic step that says, okay, I'm all in. It's a symbol, I'm all in. Something that drives a stake in the ground, a public commitment of some kind. And if you are serious about not staying the same, if you're serious about shaping your future self, about being a better woman, a better man than you've been in the past, with God's help and God's power, and you want to depend on Jesus, not just for your eternal salvation, but you want to depend on him for guidance in this life right now, you need to make a public commitment, just like Jesus modeled for us. You need to be baptized now. Now let's pray. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're serious about shaping your future self, you're serious about being a better version of you, you don't want to stay stuck where you are. You want to grow. You want to develop these habits of keeping your life clean, keeping your eyes clear, focused, and keeping your heart grateful, keeping your purpose firm. I want you to say these words. If you have never been baptized, you may need to say these words to Jesus. Lord, you know all the excuses I've given you for not being baptized. Like you were. You know all the excuses I've given you for not being baptized the way you modeled in the Jordan River. But I'm not going to procrastinate one second longer. I'm going to make my public statement of my faith in you today by being baptized right now. No more excuses. I want it to be the starting point of a new version of me. I don't want to be the same anymore. I want you to change me into the person you created me to be. So I ask you, again, to be the manager of my life. In your name I pray, amen.
Amen and amen. Those were some powerful words by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church as he continued with his series, Habits That Help Me Hold On During Hard Times. This was part 5. If you missed a portion of today or yesterday's broadcast, or the past month or so during the Tuesday and Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, all those programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. I don't know if some of you may have felt convicted over not being baptized, but it is biblical, and it's an opportunity for you to proclaim Jesus and share the great news message that he loves you, he cares for you, he died for your sins, and through that act of baptism, that public declaration, you can be a great testimony to us all. Now we'll continue next Tuesday and Wednesday with part 6 of Habits That Help You Hold On During Hard Times, as we'll look at keep moving toward your goals, accomplishing a God-given goal, and there'll be 8 steps to take. So that'll be next Tuesday and Wednesday. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.